Hebrews, please, chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Last week we started a new study, and if we look at this today, we're going to continue today as we open the Word of God again in Hebrews chapter 1. Begin reading with verse number 1. Let's pray first. Father, here we are again, Lord, in your house. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. We thank you, Lord, that we can come together, Lord, and meet, and we can open your Word and share it together. Lord, because of what you've done for each one of us, we rejoice, dear God, in your love towards us. We rejoice, Lord, that we're able to fellowship one with another because of you. And God, we ask you now, Lord, as we open the Word of God again today, as we read it, may the Spirit of God be our teacher. May he lead us and guide us, Lord, in all we say today. Lord, most of all, may hearts be changed, lives changed, and may you be glorified in all we say and do today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, because this took place, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, our reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? You know, I'm amazed today at the many words that we have in our vocabulary. We have hundreds and thousands of words that we can communicate with each other. And all these words that we have, someone has said the most difficult ones to say, the most difficult three words to say is, I was wrong. I was wrong. Have you ever said that? Have you said it lately? I was wrong. They're difficult words to say, aren't they? But sometimes we need to say them. They also said that the two most delightful words are check enclosed. Check enclosed. Delightful words, okay? But they also said that the most dynamic single word in our English vocabulary is salvation. Salvation. Pardon, forgiveness from our sins. You see, we see someone said, the Father said it, Jesus did it, I believe it, and that settles it. That's salvation. Amen? Father said it, Jesus did it, I believe it, and that settles it. Salvation, we talked about last week, is being delivered from sin. From sin. We talked about how the entire Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are involved in this. Last week we talked about the Father and what he did and how he has made it available for all mankind to be delivered from the penalty of sin. There's a debt we have to pay, and God made a way for us because of that. Salvation implies two different things. First of all, someone or something needs to be forgiven, to be saved. Someone or something needs to be saved, first of all. Now, we see in that, like only a sick man, only a sick person needs a doctor, right? You don't go to the doctor if you're not sick, right? Most of us men don't go when we are sick. But most of the time we see here, only a sick person needs a doctor. Only an accused person needs a lawyer, right? Well, only a sinner needs a savior. And that's us. We're all sinners. So, first of all, salvation implies that someone or something needs to be saved. Secondly, salvation implies that someone is able and willing to save. Someone is able and someone is willing to save or forgive us, you see. He must be able to save us. Romans 5:8, the Bible tells us, but God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ was able to save us, was he not? He was able. You know, sometimes someone may be have the desire, but not the ability to save someone, to help someone. I'm talking about saving someone from maybe a tragedy, a wreck, get somebody out of a car or something, or get somebody out of a house that's burning. But salvation is being talking about being delivered from sin, you see. Also, see, this someone who's able and willing must be willing to save. The Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son. God was willing to forgive us of our sins. You see, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, because Jesus was able. Jesus was able. The Father was willing and his Son was able, okay? That's why we have salvation. Thank God today I'm saved. Thank God today I've been forgiven of my sins and I'm on my way to heaven. And I rejoice in the fact that God has saved my soul. And I know you are too if you're saved today. Last week again we talked about some details about salvation. Turn over to 1 Peter now. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse number 2, we said, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father. We talked about the fact that the Father elected us. He elected us through his love. We see it is certainly by faith through grace that we're saved. Amen? But God in the beginning, when it was just him, he elected people to be saved. Elected people to be saved. We see here God's election was not based on anything that man could do, because man was not even here when God elected. When God elected to save mankind. We see it, God's election is based on his foreknowledge, what God knows. See, God works on what he knows. What does God know? He knows everything, doesn't he? God planned on what he knew. He knew that when you were going to be saved, if you are, and when other people are saved, if they're saved today. He knew that. What was going to happen? So we see, we work on what we have learned. But God works on what he knows, because he knows all things. There's nothing hidden from God. There's nothing that he does not know. But his foreknowledge does not do away with the will of man as far as being saved. See, the Bible says in Romans 10, 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That includes everybody. Everybody. But God, in his infinite knowledge, knowing all things, he knows who will be saved and who will not be saved. So last week we talked about God the Father, he elected us to be saved. He elected mankind to be saved. And I'm talking about being delivered from the penalty of sin. Just think about it, folks. You no longer have to pay for sin because of what God did. The plan that God had, and the fact that Jesus did what he did. The sin debt, my sin debt, and your sin debt, praise God, has been paid. It's been paid by God in what he did for mankind. So we see what God the Father did. Now, today, look in chapter 1 of Peter, look at verse number 2, the next part, says, elect according to the knowledge of God the Father. Now notice, through sanctification of the what? Spirit, through thanks for sanctification of the Spirit of God. Now look at it. We're going to look today at the Spirit's part. The Spirit, Holy Spirit himself, sanctifies us. Sanctifies us. Now the word sanctifies means to set apart. To set apart, you see. The sinner has to be set apart from the world to hear the Word of God. Amen? We can't hear the Word of God if we're wrapped up in the world. Wrapped up in the world. You know, I stand amazed today how the Holy Spirit of God, when he comes in us as an individual and saves us, how the Spirit of God begins to sanctify us. In other words, when I got saved, I was going back to a place that I used to go before I got saved, And there was conviction in my heart that I did not need to be there. In other words, this is not where you need to be as a child of God. That's the Spirit of God sanctifying us, setting us apart from the world and things in the world that we used to do that we don't need to do now. See, I'm amazed how He works in us to direct us in what we ought to do and how we ought to live our lives. So the Spirit of God sanctifies us to live for the Lord. This is done, again, through the Holy Spirit of God. Living to God is very important. We see in Galatians, turn back to Galatians, if you will, please, and look at chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. If I can find it here. How the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. He sets us apart for His work, for God's work. Chapter 5, look at verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and what happens when we do? You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See? That's sanctifying us. When we walk in the Spirit, when the Spirit of God is within us, we walk in the Spirit, and the Bible says, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. The Spirit of God sets us apart, sanctifies us in this life that God has given us now as a believer. So we're grateful today to see what the work, what God, the Holy Spirit does. He sanctifies the believer when we become a child of God. Now, turn back to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. We notice something else about the Spirit. We see the threefold work of the Spirit of God in the life of a believer and what He does. In John chapter 16, I want to begin reading with verse number 7. Jesus said to His disciples, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, notice, the Comforter will not come unto you. Now, we know who the Comforter is, right? The Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if I don't go away, the Comforter is not going to come. See? But notice He says, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. I will send Him unto you. Notice He says, and when He is come, when the Spirit is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, and of judgment. Folks, we're blessed to live in the time we live, to know that God is with us individually through His Spirit. In the days of Jesus, when He was here, His disciples and all those followers, He was just with them when they could see them. See what I'm saying? But we have God with us all the time as a child of God through the Holy Spirit that indwells us, you see. And we see here, notice His work now. We see in verse number 9, He reproves the world of sin. Why? Because they believe not on Me. They believe not on Me. Now, if you will turn back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and look at some very familiar verses here. They believe not on Me, Jesus says. Therefore, you know, of sin. I reprove the world of sin. In John chapter 3, and look at verse number, let's see here. I get my pages turned. Look at verse number, let's begin verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to what? Condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be what? Saved. Now look at verse 17. Look at verse number 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See? We see here the Holy Spirit's work is to condemn the world of sin. Of sin, because they do not believe the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not believe on Me, Jesus said. don't believe on me. Notice also, we see here of sin. Sinner must see the work of Jesus Christ, why he come. He convicts the sinner of unbelief. Unbelief. Do you really believe that Jesus died for you? If you do, you will trust him as your Savior. Amen? You will trust him. And that's what all of us have done, most of everybody here. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. Why? That we might be forgiven of our sins. We see the Holy Spirit convicts this sinner of unbelief. Unbelief. Now, unbelief has to do with not just believing, but receiving. A lot of people today may believe on Jesus, but they have not received him as their Savior. And that's the word believe is an active word. It's not just knowledge, but it's accepting in your heart who Jesus is and what he did. How he came, he died, he buried, and he rose again the third day. So we see the Holy Spirit convicts the sinner of unbelief. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit convicted you of your unbelief before you became a Christian? I am. I'm glad today to know that. This is the work of the Spirit towards the sinner. We also see he convicts the sinner of righteousness in verse number 10. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. I'm going to my Father and you see me no more. The justification of saints is the conviction of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Notice it says also, he convicts the sinner of judgment to come in verse 11. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Who's the prince of this world? Satan. He's judged. He's judged. We see he convicts the sinner of judgment. A sinner must realize his judgment is false. My judgment is false. And God's judgment is real. God's judgment is real. What I think about myself is false. But what God knows about me is true as far as sin in my life and how he wants me to live. So we see here the Son, the Spirit of God sanctifies us. In sanctifying us, he sets us, he delivers us from literally the power of sin in this world. If we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, right? So the Spirit of God has delivered us from the power of sin. How am I going to keep sin out of my life? I must ask the Holy Spirit to fill me every day. Every day. He is within me all the time. But sometimes we need that filling of the Spirit of God. I don't mean the F-E-E-L. I mean F-I-L-L. The filling, the completeness of the Spirit in our lives that we might be able to not sin in this world. See, this flesh is very sinful, is it not? It's very sinful. But we see here, the Holy Spirit sanctifies us in a part of delivering us from the very power of sin in our life. God the Father, he, through election, he delivers us from the very penalty of sin. And now we'll look on the glass in chapter, and back in 1 Peter again, in chapter 2, talks about the Spirit, talks about the Father, and also talks about now, we see in verse number two, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Now we're going to talk about the Son, the Son's work in our salvation. The sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. The Son redeems us. He redeems us, we find. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. Look at verse number. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 3. Romans chapter 3 here, okay? For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, God is true, but every man is a liar. And it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy, for thy sake alone, in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our righteousness condemn the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then, how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just? What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that we are all under what? Sin. Notice verse 10, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Folks, that's saying a lot. How many? None. There's none righteous. Nobody seeks after God. None. That's zero. That is zero, you see. But we see here, the Son redeems us. The Son redeems us. We'll get down to this verse in a minute. There, verse 12, they're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throats is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery, excuse me, are in their ways, and the ways of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith is said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is a knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace, notice, through the redemption that is in who? Christ Jesus. The shedding of blood. Shedding of his blood, we've been made righteous. It's not us. There's nothing righteous about us, that's for sure, is it not? So we see the sprinkling of the blood, the cleansing power of the blood. I like what Peter says about the blood is precious. It's precious, the blood of Jesus Christ. It's precious because it cleanses us. The covenant picture is in the blood. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. See what the writer of Hebrews says about the blood. Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verse 22. Look at verse number, Hebrews 9, 22, yes. The Bible says, and almost all things are by the law purged with what? Blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. The blood of Jesus Christ. Without the blood, there is no forgiveness. There is no cleansing. There is no forgiveness. And shedding, there is no remission, as the Bible says. Now, turn over to chapter 10 in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible says in 19, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, the flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts what? Sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. We see here the blood, the sprinkling of the blood reveals the cleansing power, the covenant picture in the blood and also the communion proclaimed through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All this is done because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died once for your sin and for my sin. His blood was sufficient to cleanse us all. It was sufficient to cleanse us all for what he did. So we see here, the Father elected us to deliver us from the penalty of sin. We see the Spirit. He sanctifies us to set us apart from the power of sin. And we see now the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he delivers us from the very presence of sin. One day, Jesus is coming back to earth, is he not? He's going to take us where he is, and he's going to deliver us literally from the very presence of sin. And we'll know nothing else about sin no more. Sin will be vanished. It's going to all be over one day, folks. I don't know about you, I'm longing and waiting for that day when the Lord is going to come back and take us where he is. Now, if you will, turn back to 1 Peter chapter 1 again. I'm thankful for salvation and how God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has made it available for all mankind. I'm grateful for that. But I want to notice something very special in chapter 1, verse 2. Look at the last part. Let's read it all. Verse number 2. It says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of all that, and I say all that, that is a lot that we cannot really describe. But because of all that, notice what he said, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Because of what God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has done, grace and peace has been multiplied to you and I. You and I. We see here, grace. What is grace? Grace is many things. It's the favor of God, is it not? Grace is the favor of God upon us. God favored us in the fact of making a way for you and I, sinners, to be forgiven. He favored us by his grace. Grace is the source of every blessing that you and I receive. Everything we receive from God is because of his grace, folks. Not anything that we deserve, but it's all because of his grace. You and I are here in God's house today because of God's grace. If it were not for God's grace, we would not probably be alive today. The favor of God. All the blessings that we have come from grace. Every blessing is a source of God's grace. And also, certainly the origin of our salvation is because of grace. And grace is love, unmerited love of God. Because of his love towards us, he has elected to save mankind. Setting him apart by the Spirit, and also delivering one day from the very presence of sin by his Son through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the supply awarded us because of God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the grace of God. The grace of God. And also we see the peace of God. The peace of God. Peace. What is peace? Peace of heart. Peace of heart. Peace of heart by the Holy Spirit in the heart of the believer. You're saved today. I can remember the day that I got saved. I can remember when I got asked Christ to save me, forgive me my sins, I remember the peace that came into my heart that I cannot describe. I cannot describe. But that peace has been there ever since. The peace of God. You know, today people are searching for what? Peace. Peace in the world. But you know as well as I know, there is no peace in this world we live in. The only peace in this world today is in the hearts and lives of God's children. That's the only peace. And because we have that peace, God wants us to share that peace with people who we come in contact with, no matter who it is. I'm grateful today for the peace of God in my heart because of what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit has made available for me. And I, by faith, accepted God's plan and God's work by trusting Jesus as my Savior, and He lives within my heart. What are we saying today? The Trinity in the salvation is our salvation. We see here, first of all, salvation proceeds from the very love of God. If God had not loved mankind, He would never have provided a way for mankind to be forgiven. But see, salvation proceeds from the love of God. We see that even in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's where salvation comes from, the love of God. To remind me, because I am a child of God by faith, that God loves me. Don't you ever forget, God loves you. God loves you. He'll never stop loving you. As long as you're in this world, He'll always love you. No matter how low you get, how high you get, God still loves you. We see here, salvation proceeds from the love of God. Salvation is also based upon the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If He had not died, shed His blood on Calvary, there would be no salvation. But salvation is, we see here, based upon that, what Jesus did to make it possible for us to be forgiven of our sin. Also, salvation is realized. Aren't you glad today you can know you're saved? I'm glad I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved because I'm forgiven. I've been forgiven of my sins. I know I'm saved because I've been born again. The Spirit of God lives within me. Okay, I know I'm saved today because I don't like sin. I don't like sin. I don't like the world, the things that are in the world, you see. I said last week, I think it was, if you feel odd and I feel odd in this world, it's a good sign you're saved. But if you can go along with everything's in the world like it is today, it's a good sign maybe you're not be saved. You might have to check up. Because as God's children, we don't like what's going on in this world, do we? We don't like it. We happen to be part of it right now, but praise God, one day He's going to deliver us from it all, ain't He? He's going to deliver us from it all. Salvation is realized. I'm glad I can know that I'm saved. How do you know you're saved? God's Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Bible tells us that. So we see salvation is realized. Salvation proceeds from the love of God. It's based upon the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation also is concluded in the resurrection one day of God's people. We're going to be in His presence. We're going to be in His presence. It's going to be concluded one day. Thank God for that today. We see, I'm thankful today for salvation. Just the beginning of the details of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Next week we'll continue as we look at the cost of salvation. We're going to look at other things about salvation as we continue on. May I leave you with this thought? Rejecting the light of the gospel, rejecting the work of Jesus Christ is the greatest tragedy anybody could ever do. Because it seals their eternity doom, their doom. Their doom. And may God remind us of that, of the people we confronted with every day. I wonder if they're saved. I wonder if they're saved. You know, I was in a place, my wife and I, this past week, walked in to talk to a guy, never seen him before in my life. Had the opportunity to just go in to visit him. Spoke to him, introduced ourselves. He told us who he was. He was there, he was very sick. And I asked him a question. I said, sir, can I ask you, are you a Christian? He said, yes, sir, I'm a Christian. He said, do you know for sure if you're going to die, you go to heaven? Yes, sir, I know I'm going to heaven. Well, I like to hear that. I like to hear that. Because I believe that God's people know they're saved. Amen? You confront somebody and say, well, I hope so. Well, you know, that's a question that goes up, is it not? Those people need the Lord. God help us. Listen, God saved me, God saved you, and God wants to save other people. He's depending on us, you and I, to tell. May this year, 2018, may we be busy going and telling others about Christ. We'll continue next week on the details of salvation. There's much to be said about God's salvation. Father, thank you today for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God you've given us to know who you are and what you've done for us. And God, how you have provided a way to forgive us of all sin. We thank you for that today, Lord. As the writer said in Hebrews, so great salvation. We're mindful every day of what you've done for us. Help us, dear God, to tell others about you. Father, bless now the service we're about to go into. May you lead, guide, and direct. And all that's said and done today, may you be honored. If it could be your will, may somebody be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.